folks, those end time prophets are at it again. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, and thanks for joining me. This is Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know. We're going to be talking about, with this one and a number of audio messages after this, something that's a bit controversial, something that may people may or may not disagree with and may get their dander up a bit. I don't know. But at the very least, I feel an obligation to talk about it, to discuss it, to compare it to Scripture, to find out what is correct or incorrect about it. So we're going to be talking about end time prophets and the fact that, in my opinion, they're at it again. So I've got a number of things to discuss in this series. And then we're actually going to get into another series that I've been working on at my blog, studygrowknowblog.com. And that series has to do with a subject that we call dominionism or dominion theology. It has various names. We'll get to that. But first, I want to go over some of the stuff that's happening today with what I can have no better name for except end time prophets. Rabbi Jonathan Cahn is famous for writing books about what he calls the Harbinger, which consisted of 9 harbingers, to be exact, that were said to be the final warnings for America. If left unheeded, America would collapse. Now, this went on for several years until it turned out that the supposed date of the reckoning came and gone. Nothing happened. Here we are still. Another individual by the name of Mark Biltz of El Shaddai Ministries is known for teaching that the blood red moons have or had had some major prophetic significance in these last days. The prophecies of these guys have come and gone, but both are said to be, I guess, reworking their prophecies. They're looking at them from different angles now. Harold Camping, who was an engineer of sorts turned radio minister, taught that Jesus was physically coming to this earth on several very specific occasions. Interestingly enough, on his third attempt, which also, as we know, did not come to pass, Jesus never came to the earth physically. On that third attempt, Camping suffered a stroke and eventually died. Now, I personally believe that this is one of those occasions when God chose to judge an individual for daring to speak in his name, for making such specific prophecies that when they didn't happen, there was nothing else to do except say, I guess I was wrong. He never did that, though. Now, by the way, I want to be clear here. Even though I believe that Camping's prophecies were false, thereby classifying him as a false prophet, really, I am not saying that he wasn't saved or that he is in hell now. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that there are too many people who are willing to claim that God has spoken to them, and they're relaying the message that they believe they heard directly from God, when in point of fact, they may simply be imagining things or doing things incorrectly or hearing the voices of demons and failing above all things to test the spirits, as we're told to do in 1 John 4 and 1 Thessalonians 5. What is most troubling to me about all these individuals and their so-called prophecies is the complete lack of discernment, not only from the individual prophets, quote unquote, using the term loosely, themselves, but from those who follow them. I think that that is a big concern, and it needs to be addressed. We can't just let these guys say whatever they say and get away with it when their prophecies don't come true. We need to address it. We need to actually speak now. Now, one of the latest individuals to come to the fore is a guy by the name of Mark Taylor, a retired firefighter. According to him, he says he was given a very specific prophecy all the way back in 2011. And it apparently has unfolded so that now, here in 2016, he realizes that God has told him definitively that Donald Trump is God's choice to bring America back from utter destruction. Now, if you go to my blog, studygrownoblog.com, and if you read the article, End Times Prophets Are At It Again, you'll see I've included a video audio. And the video that I've included is over an hour of Mr. Taylor being interviewed by Rick Wiles. Now, as Wiles interviews Taylor, what I noticed is that not once did Taylor explain how he, quote-unquote, tested the spirits at all. Now, admittedly, I didn't listen to the entire recording. I listened to most of it. But I would have thought that anyone who was going to come out and essentially claim that God told him something directly would have obeyed Scripture by doing what, you know, we're told to do, test the spirits, examine what's being taught, examine what's being told against Scripture. There's no indication that Taylor did that at all, but it appears he simply assumed that what was being revealed to him was of the Lord. End of story. There are many instances of Taylor saying God told him or God showed him without any possibility of Taylor being wrong. Many instances of those. He assumes that God is speaking, not a demon, not the devil, not even his own imagination. It was God, period. Now, the ramifications of this, like every other prophet, quote-unquote, who has marched across the horizon in recent years, is that if you do not believe what is being revealed, then you do not believe God, because these people are essentially basically relaying what they say God has told them. So these folks really need to watch what they say and how they say it. What is even more astounding is the number of comments. If you go to the original video where it's housed at YouTube, there are comments underneath that support the video, one after another. Some even offer praise to God for choosing Donald Trump to bring this nation back from the point of destruction. So there are plenty of sound bites, plenty of links on the internet where you can go to hear Mr. Taylor alleging God's work on behalf of Donald Trump. According to Taylor and many of the people who listen and follow Taylor, Donald Trump is God's anointed for the next 4 to 8 years. Now, it's amazing to me what people fail to learn. Throughout modern times, there have been people rising to the top of the heap with one claim of prophecy after another, even though these prophecies too often fail to materialize. People continue to chase after what they hear from someone new. It tickles their ears because they believe that an end is in sight for the corruption that has become part and parcel in society, and especially in America today. Frankly, I believe it's completely wrong, but it has become the norm for way too many people today. It's simply really a form of emotional virtue or cultural Marxism, and that's made its way into Christendom. People make decisions based solely on how they feel about something. They'll often start with Scripture, but then they often allegorize that Scripture. They stretch it way beyond its original intended meaning, because it makes them feel good or because they feel that it coincides with a specific agenda. Forget absolute truth from Scripture. People today prefer to determine truth based on how it resonates within them, how they feel about it. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." That's 2 Timothy 4:3. Does that sound like today to you? Why does that continue? Why do people hang on so firmly to the belief that America can or will be turned around, even putting their faith into someone like Donald Trump, who has provided no evidence that he's a Christian at all? It all boils down to a failure to understand God's plan as revealed in the Bible. Regarding the audio, the video that I mentioned, and the comments that were made about that video, one person commenting on the video says this, quote, specifically, verbatim, "Sounds like this man was groomed by God to be president," unquote. Another person responds to that comment with this, quote, "That's how it happens," unquote. Yet another individual writes the following, quote, absolutely has given me a ray of hope, and I have been a firm supporter of Trump. Blessings to your show and to Mark Taylor, exclamation point, three times, unquote. Well, here's yet another set of comments. Quote, let me note that I've sent this off to my pastors and my church family, so excited as we all are. Can't say false hopes cause God doesn't give false anything, unquote. No, but people misinterpret all the time. These people are not using any form of discernment at all. They are merely going by how the information from Mark Taylor makes them feel. They believe that Trump is the guy who should be our next president, chosen specifically by God, anointed by God. And if so, God will work in and through him to bring America back from destruction. That makes them feel excited, so they need nothing further to prove anything. Nothing. For them, it's that simple, and unfortunately, the more complex and convoluted the alleged prophecy, for instance, in this prophecy that I was listening to, Mark Taylor and Rick Wiles go back and forth, and they talk about the fact that Secretariat, the Triple Crown winner, horse racing, is a metaphor for the church. Uh-huh. Okay. The better. I mean, this is how convoluted it gets. So these people hear about this stuff and they think, oh, God's pointing out that, oh, yes, Secretariat, he's a metaphor for the church. Look at what he was able to accomplish. The church is going to win, be victorious, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And because it's more convoluted, complex, it's more believable. If this is the scenario that's supposed to happen, then what about the Bible itself? What does the Bible teach us regarding the end times? Well, I've written a number of books on the subject and plenty of articles on the subject as well that you can find at studygrowknowblog.com. You can go to studygrowknow.com to find some of the books that I've written. And on the fourth page of where my books are listed, some of them you can download for free as PDFs. Those are virus-free files. studygrowknow.com, and then go to the books page and see the books that I've written. And I've written many of them on the end times. Now, from everything I can determine, things do not get better as they lead up to the return of Jesus. The Bible seems very, very clear to me that society will grow worse and worse until the entire planet experiences what is called the tribulation slash great tribulation, or what is referred to in Daniel 9 as the final week of 70 weeks. The Bible's description for this period of time is akin to hell on earth. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. There are many, many other reference points in Scripture. But there are, what's really interesting, that I've got a link to another article where one reporter who was Jewish received many threats of an anti-Semitic nature after writing negatively about Trump's wife. So the reporter received threats, and some of those threats connected with back with Hitler and what should happen to her. This reporter should have, like what happened to the Jews under Hitler. Well, Trump refused to condemn the threats to the reporter because he didn't want to say anything against his quote-unquote fans. This is supposedly God's man, and yet he is unwilling to stand with Jews, even though specific Jews come against him. Interesting. He is unwilling to condemn those who use anti-Semitism against a Jewish reporter solely because the Jewish reporter had unflattering things to say about Donald Trump's wife. This is God's anointed. Why didn't God take this reporter out yet? I don't know. Amillennialists and postmillennialists tend to believe that as the church works harder, spreading this specifically, by the way, postmillennialists, as the church works harder, spreading the gospel through evangelism, more people will become saved and can then become better informed and then help work to change society so that America becomes, once again, quote unquote, what is thought to be a Christian nation. Now, many believe America started out as such and was derailed by liberals and atheists, people we call progressives today. They believe Christians are to wrest control back away from these progressives and bring America back under the moral and spiritual code of Scripture. And in doing this, we will turn society around. And then as this filters throughout the entire globe, well, then Jesus will be able to return sooner. I don't find this anywhere in Scripture. But I do realize how people can get to that point of their belief. In order for amillennialism and postmillennialism to be true, portions of Scripture have to be allegorized, as opposed to simply understanding Scripture in its most basic, literal sense. And by literal, I do not mean literalistic. There's a huge difference. Allegorization is done because it fits the agenda of those who believe that if Christians work harder, evil will be pushed back to the point that Jesus will be able to return to this earth. Currently, apparently, he cannot do that because the church, the vehicle through which he works, is impotent, unspiritual, fractured, and blind. Powerless, basically. However, if the church would simply realize her full potential, she would be able to change America for Christ and ultimately the world for Christ, enabling him to return physically to this earth sooner than later. That, in a nutshell, is dominionism, which we are going to get into much later after this short series. Now, Mark Taylor clearly believes that what has been revealed to him is from God. About Donald Trump, if you were to ask him what chance there was that he was being deceived, he would respond unequivocally with none. There's 0% chance that he is being deceived, is what he would say. Yet he's not only adding to Scripture, but changing the meaning of it with so-called new revelation. I was talking with a person who claimed to channel an archangel not long ago who was always in direct communication with God, the archangel was, which archangel isn't. I asked that person how he knew that the being who spoke to him was actually an archangel. He said he believed the archangel when he told him who he was, and he did not believe that the archangel would lie to him. Matter of fact, he said that the archangel couldn't lie. That was his belief. I asked him to do what John says to do in 1 John 4:1-2, to test the spirits in that way by simply asking that particular being next time he chose to speak to this gentleman or through him, ask him if Jesus had actually come in the flesh, just as John says we're supposed to do. It was rather simple, and it would provide him with proof. If the being refused to answer, or if he said no, then the Bible says that that being is a demon. Well, the guy wouldn't do it. He told me that beings in the spiritual realm had absolutely no reason to lie to human beings. That was what he felt. People who ultimately believe what they want to believe do. And oftentimes, Satan doesn't have to work that hard to have his lies accepted as truth, does he? Too many people today want to believe what is false because it sounds good. It feels good. No one wants bad news at all. And this is what we are being faced with today. Rather than accepting it, knowing that God is still in the business of saving souls, not necessarily countries or nations, by the way, Christians prefer to chase after things that offer some light in the darkness, some good news in the bad. And I would not be surprised, folks, if a lot of the bad news that we're hearing comes from those people firmly, firmly encamped deep within dominionism. They want us to move. They want us to get cracking. They want us to change society for God. Jesus says in Matthew 28, preach the gospel to all the nations. Why? So that they can inherit salvation and they will become disciples. And they will enjoy the eternal benefits of that at some point. They'll start to enjoy it now, but they won't enjoy the remainder or the bulk of all salvation benefits until after they leave this life. Look, evil is on the move. And just because that's happening, it does not mean that God is powerless or unable to complete his will unless the church steps up. As I've stated here and elsewhere numerous times before, God is allowing Satan what appears to us to be near free reign over this world, so that Satan will have every opportunity to bring his promises of Isaiah 14 to fruition. It was those promises that brought about his fall. Now remember, his last promise was that he would become, quote, like the Most High, unquote, Isaiah 14, 14. God is giving Satan the chance to make that happen, which is why we are moving steadily, steadily toward the tribulation, which is why Satan's spiritual son, Antichrist, will rule this world in the final Gentile empire first revealed in Daniel 2. Which is why Satan's attempted public humiliation of God will end when Jesus returns physically and destroys Antichrist with but a word. This is so clearly spelled out in Scripture that it is difficult to miss, yet people continue to miss it. Why? Because they change the meaning. How? Through allegorization. Why? Because they don't want to lose America. They don't want to be persecuted. Folks, it is coming. Draw close to God. Be and remain in fellowship with him so that you can be a willing participant in the Great Commission, whatever comes your way because of it. It's not about God saving nations. It's about God saving souls. And he has chosen to work in and through Christians to make that happen. We'll be back next time. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm going to continue this series. And then, as I said, we're going to get into the subject of dominionism, Christian reconstructionism, kingdom now, whatever you want to call it. We're going to talk about it. Thanks for joining me. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical perspective.